This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is our number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. How the heck are you? Oh, Jeff's internet is out to start the show. That's a new record. Just a few seconds. It's a rolling blackout. He should be back on within a couple of seconds here.
Hey, guys.
As we're off. Oh, there he is. We're off and running. A good afternoon to you, Jeff. We have the top sports stories of the day every day at 2 o'clock. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There he is, Jeff Cavanaugh, Studio De Heffrey in Lake Highlands. You got Brian Broaddus and Lucius Alexander there in the Pimp Cup at 75 and Fitz. You. How the heck you guys doing? You have a good weekend?
Well, I tell you, I don't think it can be overstated what tacos can do for a Monday. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I had some breakfast tacos this morning, and I feel like things are off on the right foot. Shout out.
Oh, there it's gone. That's all right, bro. You got tacos, man.
Yeah.
You know, shredded beef, you know, chicken.
What,
it doesn't matter what kind of tacos, ground beef. You got tacos, you're right, Jeff.
They were breakfast tacos.
Yeah, breakfast tacos. Well, I haven't had any tacos in about 2.5 weeks. Lent started. I'm doing no meat again, plus no wheat again. So the flour tortillas and the meat is just calling me, man. I cannot wait for Easter. It's
going to
be the most
you.
Glorious Easter.
Yeah, I handled that for you.
Thank you,
you're
sir.
Welcome, Gavin.
Yeah.
And you're welcome, tacos.
Well, I did have a good weekend myself. Got my first vaccine shot. Second one is coming the day before Easter, so I might be wiped out. Actually, I might not be in much of an eating mood.
Is your arm soreness? Where's the level of arm soreness right
it's
now?
Bad
can we
arm
not pitch?
Soreness.
Yeah,
yeah,
we got arm
worse
soreness
than
here.
The flu shot, I think.
Uh oh.
You know, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I ended up with some elbow tendonitis. So I think it's kind of taken out the muscle. And I had some repetitive stress situations going on. I think we had a little soccer practice yesterday. I might have tweaked it.
Could it be, a Tyrod Taylor situation?
Yeah.
Where, you know, kind of a new nurse, missed the spot, hit something important in there?
You know what's funny is the shot did not hurt when it was going in at all, Jeff.
Yeah.
So I thought.
Missed the mark. Why?
That was the best shot ever. I was like, well, boy, I need to take this lady wherever I go to doctor's offices because I felt nothing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do kind of wonder if that might have to have any correlation with the level of pain because it's pretty big pain right now. That's
missed the arm,
out, but...
went into the lung maybe, caught a rib.
Shoulder, yeah. Broly. Yeah,
went into
back
the
there
bone,
somewhere.
Something
yeah.
like that. Is there a big nerve up there in your shoulder area? I don't think so. It's probably just a weak link, you know. Mm-hmm. It's probably what it's coming down to. You got muscle atrophy going on in middle age. Mm-hmm. Dad bod, you know, really. There's a point where dad bod goes to being like something women talk about, like, oh, he's cute, he's got dad bod, but you know, he's cute, that's okay, to, you know, just kind of sloppy, you know, unimpressive. Dad bod denotes at least some sort of, you know, you at least got something still, right? I think that's how the gals look at it.
Is dad bod not trying? Have you given up? Are you what have you become when you get the dad bod bit?
I think dad bod.
A dad? Makes
dad
sense.
Bod is a little disrespected. I think what most people call the dad bod is a guy that is trying, but he's not the guy. You know, they say abs are made in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So, like, dad bod guy probably works out 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah.
But his diet isn't quite right.
He's having breakfast tacos, you think?
Not sleeping right with kids.
Yes.
You know?
Breakfast tacos and crawfish. And look.
We lose him again.
Oh, yes.
He's right in the middle of a great point.
He set us up.
He's
rolling right along.
Hey, look. Let's just see if he can.
Yep.
He quit.
He's got dad bod. He quit.
Yeah. I think he nailed it. That's an important point.
See what happens to you then, Internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got something for you.
I mean, you do pay enough. I'd start to raise hell.
I'm going to splice this stupid cord right into my neck. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to splice off the cord and fit it in. What do you need? You need a square entry point. I'm just going to put the connection in my neck.
And I'll splice it and go wrap it around some, you know, salesman's throat. You charge me how much a month for this internet? Can I get a little bit of reliability?
Swear on everything.
Didn't we knock out a wall to get this thing? Didn't we kind of?
We did a lot.
Didn't we kind of call NASA and kind of get some stuff going on here?
You should see my speed tests. Okay, we're over getting A pluses.
Yeah.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation, and if you haven't been under a rock, you saw the biggest Cowboys story of the day. You know, that the tag deadline could be moved back. Do you guys expect that to happen based on what you're seeing? I saw a bunch of news about it this morning, and it felt kind of imminent, like we were heading in that direction, but no official announcement yet. Do you guys expect it?
Yeah, I suppose it looks like if they don't have their definitive salary cap number, that they're going to do their teams a solid and be like, look, you don't have to use your franchise tags until we know, you know, how much money you have. So that would make sense. Plus, Jerry would get to win. Because, you know, Tuesday he would get tagged. But if we got to talk about it until Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like, you know, Jerry's over there doing his Six Flags dance, like the old guy who hops off the Six Flags bus.
Yep.
And he's got all the moves. You guys know who I'm
talking
about.
Oh, I know exactly, yeah. High pants guy?
Yeah.
He's jamming. He's jamming.
Yeah. Jerry ain't minding it. So, yeah, I anticipate that will happen because the NFL loves it.
Yeah,
well, the union wants it. Union wants it pushed back as well, Brian. Don't
they?
Yeah,
they do. They do, and it's one of those things too. I think that the league would like to give the teams a little bit more of an opportunity. We're starting to see that, you know, the purging of rosters and stuff. So maybe this will buy the team a couple more days to kind of have an idea of like, okay, yeah, we need the number, but we kind of have an idea what the number might be. So maybe it'll give the teams a little bit more of an opportunity to say, okay, well, we definitely need to do this. We definitely need to do this. And we definitely need to do that. So there's some teams that still having to play that game going forward.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Cowboys are right up against it as well, and they're going to have to make a move. So this might be a situation where certainty is the order of the day because a couple of hundred grand in either direction could make a difference in some of their calculations.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. The Cowboys are in a situation right now, and I know we'll probably get into it later in the day, you know, with some of our other segments as well, that you know, they're kind of in that – they're having to flip some switches. You know, and what switches do you? Yeah, what switches do you want to flip and restructure?
Okay.
I know that's something we can get into a little bit later on today.
Okay, but this information is good, Brian. And if you're not planning on talking about it at 2:40, we have it on the show sheet for 5:00.
Yeah.
I'd love to share it with our earlier listeners, because last week there was a report. And this is why you tune into the G-Bag Nation, folks, because Broadus has you. At Brian Broadus on Twitter, by the way. Reports last week suggested, you know, it was getting ready for Tank to be restructured,
right,
free up money, and you convert his salary to a signing bonus, and it chops down his cap hit quite a bit so we could do other things. But you were hearing other things over the weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. And, you know, we even talked about on the show Amari Cooper being a possibility, because Amari Cooper, you know, you flip that switch, then, you know, you have him for more years and more money and stuff like that. So, you know, the Cowboys were really happy about that. They were happy that they had that flexibility, that ability to get in out of the deal after 2 years. And you're like going, okay, great. But think about the player that, you know, you're talking about not flipping. You're talking about a guy that, you know, has since he's been with the team, has done an outstanding job. He's been productive. He was productive last year when the quarterback play was crazy. You know, he was one of your better players overall. So flipping his contract or flipping that switch on him, that's okay. That's one of those ones I would applaud. Now, if you want to go on the other end of that, you know, maybe with the Marcus Lawrence, that would be something that you have to think about, you know, with the position, with the injury history, you know, and do you want to continue to go down that path? I don't think that's one that they really, really want to do. And so okay, we'll see. Also, Lyle Collins was another mention of a guy that they also talked about, as well as a possibility of a guy that they could flip. So they've got options.
They don't want to do a Tank, and that makes sense because of the position, his back history.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You don't want to extend that obligation, you know, much farther than it already is, which is a couple of years before you can release him. And coming up on 30 right, is a tough time for defensive ends to maintain their quality. Now, with Amari, they would be willing to? They're up for it?
Yeah, it's something, though, General, it didn't appear that they were interested in doing. But to me, it makes the most sense.
Okay, makes the most sense.
Makes
to you,
the most
not
sense.
They would want to do.
Yeah, it's something that they I was hearing that they really appreciate the flexibility that they have with the contract. That's
well,
how why
mean,
they built it the way they did.
And you know what, Brian? Last year at this time, I would have loved the flexibility too. After maybe his best statistical year with four different quarterbacks,
right,
he looks to have put some of those injury and durability concerns and love for the game concerns behind him. And also think about this. He didn't have his best year when he had contract insecurity. You gave him security and he thrived. Some players go back and forth. Now, maybe it's just a coincidence, but a lot of other players thrive when they lack security. Tank, you know, and post money, he's still been good, but he hasn't been world beater Tank. You know, some people think, oh my goodness, if I don't play like an all pro, then this is going to maybe be the last money I ever make. They're not going to pay me.
Yeah.
And they go work out, and they, you know, every time the ball is snapped, their hair is on fire. Other guys, it's like almost they get psyched out by it, and the pressure gets to them, where the security pulls out the best. Am I doing too much here, Brian, with how I evaluate the psychology of motivation?
No, not at all. No, I think that I think you've got this player down, Pat. Also, though, also keep an eye, though, on Zach Martin was another one that I was hearing some names about. But I think you're absolutely right, though, about Amari. And he would be the one guy that I feel like, though, if you were doing something where he's young enough, he's productive enough, if you kick the can a little further, that might not be a bad thing, as opposed to some of these other high collision positions that we're talking about.
Okay, but the big takeaway tag deadline likely will be pushed back, not tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Jeffrey, you like that? I guess it gives them a little bit more time.
Yeah, and with the guys who they may restructure to save money, move money, kick money. I think to me it's always made sense. What you want to do is you want to look at your guys who make a lot of money, but you're really, really confident that 2 or 3 years from now they're still going to be really, really good at football. So that, to me, makes it like Zeke, off limits. Don't move running back money around.
Yeah.
Jalen, off limits. I don't need extra money later where if I want to get rid of him, it's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence, off
limits.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. But, yeah, a 25-year-old wide receiver who's a stud, your Hall of Fame right guard who's still a robot, hell yeah, you can kick theirs. Just don't kick the guys that I want to get rid of.
Indeed.
That's a bad idea.
All righty, All-Star Game will be a topic of conversation throughout today's show. Mike Fisher, one of our Mavs insiders, is going to join us at 3:20, and we'll take your thoughts on it via the phone lines and text throughout the show. Congrats to Luka and his LeBron teammates for picking up the win. It was the year of the half-court shot, just incredible with Steph Curry and Damian Lillard. You know, I think Luka has his template for what it's going to take to have a big moment in the All-Star game, or big moments, hopefully, throughout his career. And I don't want to hate, but I want to see him go win an All-Star game MVP. And, you know, his lack of three-point sniping and his aggressiveness, they don't match it right now. I don't know. Do you think he's starstruck? But I need more aggressive, and I don't think he's going to be dunking on people. So non-dunkers, sometimes they can be a little bit apprehensive to go show off because it's all about the alley-oops and the woo and the wah and the, you know.
Well,
so if you're not a dunker, you got to jack threes, and to jack threes, you got to make a high percentage of them.
And for Luka, I think he happened to be on – look, LeBron's team was better than Durant's team, and it wasn't very close.
Yeah.
And, like, there's other dudes that are bringing the ball up. So Luka, when he's in the game, I'm just watching him first. He's jogging to the right corner, and then he's jogging to the left corner, and it's just like, all right, let me get out of the way here so that LeBron can bring it up, and Steph and Lillard and all these different guys. So
and I don't think he's going to stop deferring until he's the older guy and they're retired.
Right, until you view yourself or they view you as, hey, I know it's five of the best players in the world on the floor, but that's our point guard. Like, until he's viewed that way, he's going to be standing in the corner.
Yeah,
and
it's tough to watch.
Feel free to stretch before the skills challenge, Luka.
That should have happened. But, yeah, you know what? I want to see Luka be the brash youngster that just walks over there and says, give me the ball. You know, they've been watching your old ass for 15 years, CP3. You know, I guess that would get him a bad reputation or whatever. And he can do it in a nice way. I'm sure Luka could do it in a much nicer way, but I'm waiting for the age at which he spreads his wings and says, well, this is kind of my show now, my league. And you can get there without winning the championship, but it's going to take a lot of brash and a lot of balls and some, you know, deep shooting. I think Lillard's like around 30, and it finally happened for him last night where he was like, forget you guys, I'm getting mine. Watch this.
And I knew the last two times down the floor, because if you've missed the All-Star game, the format is so much better now, where they do it by quarter, and then at the end there's a target score. So
that
it wasn't
was awesome.
Close enough that it was going to get very tight, but it got a little tighter. And when you knew they needed 3 points to end the game and Steph was bringing the ball up, I was like, oh, he's shooting from half court. And he missed it. And then Lillard's bringing it up. I was like, he's going to shoot from half court. And he buries it. you knew, because that's what the show was about last night. It was about Steph and Lillard and the evolution of, if you don't guard me to 38 feet, the ball's going in, and it's incredible.
Dude, it was just about a half-court shot that they took, like, jumpers.
Yeah.
Yeah, And Lillard was 2 of 3 on him in the game.
It is amazing the way that the range that these guys have. I'd like to see, to your point, General, I'd like to see Luka be the one take 16 threes like Lillard did. You know, yeah. I come on, Luka. I mean, but then again, he would probably like everybody would get in the locker room and go, man, dude, why are you shooting so much? Don't do that.
Yeah, I guess you got to pay your dues.
You got to pay your dues. You got to carry water for everybody else. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But I don't want to see it. I want to see my guy knocking him down, you know, from 40 feet, you know, 16 times.
Yeah, hog it up, you know. And
hog it up.
I don't know if we ever have. I don't know if we've ever had the star attraction, at least an NBA All-Star game. Obviously, in football and baseball, there have been those times where your guy is the main guy. But it's tough to get there in the NBA. You either have to be a scoring savant or a multi-time champion. I think the jewelry does a lot of that. So let's get some rings going. And maybe, you know, Luka could take over that spot. Looks like LeBron doesn't want it that much anymore. You know, he was kind of taking a back seat, maybe resting a little bit at 36 years old. Only played, 16, 18 minutes, something like that. Hey, we got to run. We got a full sports plate here for you today, though, and we're excited to talk about all these subjects with you. Lucius Alexander is putting the finishing touches on the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. That's your best audio. NFL weekend recap, the NFC team going all in for Russell Wilson. That is next in the Nation. All right, yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. Let's get you some weekend NFL stories. The team reportedly going all in for Russell Wilson. My first thought was like, man, they probably don't have what it takes to trade for him. And then I thought, holy cow, the Cowboys could beat anything that they offer. If that is of your interest, okay, segment is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk to you personally. Take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It does start with a simple and confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Rubin and Associates, 800-LAWYERS. I mean, Russ is just the guy who, with a bad defense and a bad offensive line, can still get you the playoffs. So maybe you don't want him. I get it. You be locked into your guy. You know, I don't hold it against you. You know, for me, free agency has just tore out the idea that you draft guys and they stay with your team and they're yours. Now it's more taken it to like players are interchangeable pieces, and I want to see my front office manage those pieces incredibly well. But if you're still a loyalty to the players kind of fan, I totally get it, man. And it's really cool when guys, you know, are drafted and stay with your team.
That was the most fish thing I've ever heard you do.
Thank you.
Hey, look, I've got these really good ideas and forward thinking, and it's the right way to do things. But if you're stuck somewhere else and want to do what's wrong, like, you know, I don't want to tell you not to do what you like.
I mean, good on you, buddy. God bless you. What do you do? Bless your heart? There it is.
Yes.
Bless your heart. Yeah.
But I, you know, so it's the Bears. And I don't, you know, I think they'd be pretty tough if they managed to get Russell Wilson. But I can't imagine with their pick. I don't want any of their quarterbacks. If you're Seattle, I would say trade your two best defensive players for picks and then call us. Let us know what you got.
That is the challenge if you want to trade for a great quarterback, is if you're Seattle. And it's insane to me, but it seems like it's happening, that this could really happen, that Russell Wilson's going to play for a different team next year in this wild world. But if you call and you're Chicago – and you say, hey, we want Russ. And I say, all right, what do you got? Well, we have the 20th pick. And I go, okay, can't get a quarterback with that. And we'll give you two more, three more, whatever amount of first-round picks. And then in my head I go, okay, but you have the 20th pick and you had a bad quarterback. You're going to get my quarterback. You're going to make the playoffs every year. So I'm going to get the 20th pick, the 32nd pick, the 26th pick. Crap, where am I getting my quarterback? How am I going to get my quarterback? Yeah. I don't know how that works. And I guess I'd have to look at, like, Khalil Mack, age and contract. Maybe that helps.
Send him. Yeah, but if you're Seattle, you're like, but we have a pass rusher and no quarterback. The reason you guys are trading for a quarterback, he was on your team. You had a really good defenses, and you really couldn't get much going. So we don't want to trade situations with you. I think it comes down to, you know, you make them trade Khalil Mack, and is it Eddie Jackson? Now their defense is bad enough, maybe they miss the playoffs, plus they have real picks. They can send them all to you, and now you can trade up from where you are, you know, to get the kind of pick that where you could actually draft a replacement quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Gavin, you know that it hurts my heart. You know, mostly the blatant disrespect of Dak Prescott and how good he is. But a lot of people are cool with having that disrespect for him all the time. And, I don't want to tell people how to how to think about the guy. So I will just appreciate him properly. Okay. But they are the team that fits with any team that's talking about, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether it's Russell Wilson. If you're trying to find, because that has to be rule number one. If I'm trading away my franchise quarterback, rule number one is whatever you're giving me back has to help me find my next one. And teams picking in the 20s, you can't do that for me. Yeah. But teams that have a franchise quarterback and can't get a contract done, hey-oh. Like, that's the fit.
Yeah.
Unless you just don't like Dak at all, and I don't think any of the 32 GMs just don't like him at all. Maybe they think his ceiling is limited a little bit, but I don't think any team can get a better offer than Dak in 10.
No, you can't. I mean, to me, if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you're looking at the teams, you know, the teams that you feel like that you could trade with and make it work would be Houston and Dallas. You know, and that those are the teams. I mean, of the teams that are trying to move on from their quarterbacks and stuff like that, you could say, okay, no, Houston, you don't like your guy. Okay, this is what we could do for you. Dallas, this is what we can do for you. You know, you can make this thing. To me, Chicago's not the best fit when it comes to how you want to go forward here. Because the idea is if you're going to trade away your Hall of Fame quarterback, you want something in return. Either, hey, I've got to get up there and get my next quarterback, or B, you've got to give me a quarterback that I feel like I can win with, you know?
Indeed.
So that, I think, to me, I think Dallas is in a unique situation because, like we talked about, they could if San Francisco is really a player in this thing and Dallas can't get a deal done, that is the first – well, okay, I take that back. I'm calling Houston. I'm calling Seattle. And then I'm calling San Francisco if I'm the Cowboys. Because I'm gonna figure out one way or another, I'm going to find a way to A, either get my quarterback, B, get another draft pick so I can go get my quarterback, or C, now think about, okay, well, that all didn't work. I need to go and draft a guy, you know, a Davis Mills from Stanford or somebody like that in the second round.
Guys, I thought up a really good thought to pass on to the Joneses if they're listening. I don't know if anybody had thought of this before. What if they signed their quarterback?
That would be good.
What if
that would be a great start.
Sign their quarterback.
I it's funny. I've talked to people who used to like trust these guys for what they were doing.
Yeah.
They don't. Nobody trusts these guys anymore. Nobody trusts these guys. They actually think things will get worse. They think the organization is going to get worse. Just around the league. I mean, people's like, I don't know about this. You guys all talk about Stephen Jones, this, that, and the other. Sorry, Steven, if you're listening, just people what they think about you around the league, you know?
Wow. You're going at their head on a Monday.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, it's not, it's when you talk to people about the direction of, you know, they've botched this thing.
They don't have a direction right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're a Cowboy fan, you're just, what are you hoping for? You're hoping for that somehow, some way that Dak says, you know, I really don't want to be a free agent. I don't care about it. I want to be here. You're hoping for that because your organization, your front office, didn't get it done 3 years ago when you had the opportunity. Like, we've seen these other teams take advantage of rookie contracts. And I'm not saying just on the you know, using those years. I mean, they went after it. They went aggressive. You just let that thing evaporate without even a fifth-year option or anything like that because you didn't have it because he's not a first-round player.
Yeah.
So you should have been even more aggressive at that point in time, and you weren't.
I think Steven maybe, you know, could be taking things in a different direction, and the organization's DNA is not the direction that he wants to take it. So
could very well be.
You know, maybe he's not allowed to fully execute the plan. But early on, I don't like how it's jiving. You know, I don't like how they drug it out with Tank and Zeke and then ended up paying him. If you're going to play the tough game, let them walk, you know. Because right now they have no credibility. All right, it is time now for the J-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best. That is your J-Bag of the Day. You guys agree with that? If you're going to be tough on contracts, you got to let a couple of them walk. And you better be savvy enough to know which positions to pay,
yeah.
Which ages to pay.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to be tough on contracts, be tough at positions that aren't that important, and maybe chill out a little bit on the most important one.
There you go. Sorry, Lucius. How?
Yeah, you good, man? You good?
Right on.
Would you just ask me how am I doing?
Yeah.
How they say it? I'm totally, dude. totally good, man. All right. I'm totally, dude.
Party like a rock star. Is that from that song?
Oh, no. I mean, just totally, dude.
Oh. Totally, yeah. Dude.
Because isn't that what they say in that song? They're like, party like a rock star. Yeah. Totally, dude.
Yes, sir.
Did
you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did, man. Went for like a drive on Saturday, watched the NBA on Sunday. Had a good weekend.
What do you mean, went for a drive?
I just wanted to get in the car and drive. I went to like wash the car, and the car was looking so good. I was like, I'm going to go for a drive.
Went up the coast.
Yeah, I started went. Yeah. I turned on some Frank Sinatra and stuff, bro.
Oh, riding around go,
with the windows
go.
Out, like the music, yeah. Ignorant Levels, arm yeah. out the window. Yeah, dog with me. Dog yeah. hanging out the window. Yeah. I look like a scene coming down the street if you see me.
Down some dirt roads right after you cleaned it?
No.
Dog just it's slobbering all over the side of the car field. For you?
No, she loved it. I gave her some little treats. What is that? Beef jerky. She loves beef jerky. So you want a meat stick? You want a meat stick? And she gets excited. All right. Baby Sean Sharif had a podcast. Little Ollie. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. A little taste of it, right, Chia?
Oh, no.
You didn't hear little Ollie's new podcast where he's talking about dad?
Man, I heard it.
Y'all are messed up.
Welcome to my Cribcast, presented by mycomputercareer.edu. Technically, I can't talk yet, but in just 6 months, I'll be an IT professional. Lately, I can't talk as much sports because Dad turned off late-night Weber State games for stock tickers. Each day, he takes me to the movies. He says the more we go, the more AMC stock goes up. I came into this world hearing about Nick and Sam's and barbecue. Now I hear the word rations.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Rations.
Great stuff,
oh,
baby,
no.
All over there. I'm texting with Sean every morning at 8:30 when the market opens. 8 a.m. actually when the pre-market fires up. I'm like, what do you think, bros? It's our day. To the moon.
I have so many different things that I'm just waiting for them to turn green by a penny, and I'm getting the hell out. It's requiring a lot of patience.
It is indeed, man. It's quite an education watching this and reading all about the short
dip.
Squeeze attempt. GameStop went off again today, like up 40%. It was crazy. It's almost $200.
Buy the dip, man.
Last week it was $40. It's gone four times again. Who's challenging Lucius?
There's a homeless guy in Deep Elm that sounds like Coach O.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it sounds like Coach O.
Tell Dallas, Texas a thing or two or three.
Dallas, straighten up.
Hell yeah, man.
Tell them to bring gas in town. And quit all that blasting. All
you know Les Miles from LSU?
Blasting.
One more time.
Tell Dallas, call my right gas down if they want to come back around.
Wait, one more word for the people of Dallas. People of Dallas, one word.
Always come with gas in your pocket.
Okay, now remember who it was.
Wow. Yeah. Homeless guy in Deep Elm.
Really he wasn't trying. That's how he really sounds, respectfully.
Respectfully.
Yeah. A lot of interesting people in Deep Elm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a different part of Dallas, man. It's like you got Dallas and then Deep Elm. Elm is like the part of downtown that every other downtown is kind of like.
And it also borrowed Uptown.
Yeah, that
now.
It?
Yeah, it's absorbed Uptown basically now, too.
Huh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, when they started doing the, one of those places, the bottled brunette, the can of blonde or whatever. They started moving the Uptown crowd down to Deep Elm, but you also have the weird still, so it's a lot. It's a lot happening.
Okay. Well, you know, I like it. A little personality, a little art. I like driving through areas and seeing graffiti on the walls.
Yeah, we're thinking about opening an art gallery there.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right,
see, that or Bishop Arts.
All right.
I think Bishop Arts, you get more buys, but this one right here, you get more looks.
NFT? You can do NFT art in there?
Yeah, my cousin, he's getting into that, bro. He's getting into it. I think there might be a strong future. You seen Shaq's commentary last night, right, during the skills challenge?
Hysterical.
European players are fundamentally sound. This is what they do all the time.
We caught him. Way to catch him.
But now guess what? Guess what? From the three?
Oh, this cash out.
Coming to Shoot that bitch. Anybody with an eye seeing that last night can shoot. Omilovic, Maravich, Vucevic, Stojakovic.
He's not
shoot
wrong.
That bitch.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Those itches are good.
Wow. Yeah.
Itches are good.
Shaq's commentary on the skills challenge. Who was that back at UCLA like 12 years ago that said, yeah, you know, if I was this age with this shooting percentage coming out of Europe, I'd be a top five. It was Jason Capono. And he was like, I should change my name to Jason Kaponovic. It's one of the best lines I've ever seen in an NBA draft.
That's right,
is it time to vote, Lucius, or what do you think?
You want to do one more?
Yeah.
Let's do one more. This guy right here got to venting during the Wisconsin-Iowa basketball game. Mm. He got to venting over the replay. Sound like me on Sunday. My little lady got upset with me because I told her she was talking too much.
Sure. How many times are we going to this monitor, man?
Yeah, it's four or five times today, yeah.
Let's go to the monitor. It's like watching a movie with my wife. It's like, pause. She keeps talking. Okay, pause. What now? Pause. What now? We don't need to keep going here. Let's just get through this.
Wow.
That was probably a rough one when he got home. Yeah, honey, I was watching the game. I guess you don't want to talk.
He might be a guy that's overly in control of his situation. Like, he gets home, and she's like, I heard what you said on the broadcast. He's like, yeah, you got something to say about it? And she's like, no. No, I don't.
Was this live, or was this like he talking to the truck?
No, this is live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Maybe she was asking the mad questions, bro. I told my girl, man, she hit me with one question, and before I can answer, there was another one, and then there was a thought randomly that came to her. Just she hit me with that. So I'm like, there's four things coming in at one time. Then she's like, so what do you think? I was like, so of which one? Cool. You talk too much. I can't keep up with it.
I thought we were watching this movie. That's what I think.
Gosh.
We did watch Coming to America 2 over the weekend. That was fun, though. That was a good movie. So salute to Eddie Murphy and everybody involved for smash success. Is it our one-time G-Bag of the Day champion, Sean Sharif, baby Sean Sharif there in the crib? Is it the homeless guy in Deep Ellum? Is it Shaq's commentary in the skills challenge? Or is it venting during Wisconsin and Iowa? I'll vote baby Sharif.
I'm going to go with Shaq's commentary. That's hilarious.
I'm all about my LSU guy, Shaq. Yeah, let's go there.
Okay, all right. I thought you might have been going homeless guy, but it's 2-1 there. Jeffrey?
I'll go baby Sean.
Baby Sean, we've got to tie it too.
Sean Sharifovich.
Jump on to the @GBagNation Twitter account. There'll be an Insta poll set up for you to vote on. Then we're back for Brian Broaddus and his daily content. Sir, where are we headed?
Yeah, Peter King's Monday morning quarterback, Daniel Jeremiah, joined him. He's got some interesting thoughts. We'll talk about those next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is The Nation, and time now for Brian Broaddus and his daily content. Here he is, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. I was just doing some stuff, some research through the internet, and I hadn't.
Oh, you're donging around.
I don't want to steal your line, but I was donging around a little bit on internet, and I haven't read Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback in a while. Is that something? Is that kind of a go to for you guys? Are you a Monday Morning Quarterback?
During the season?
Yeah. He comes up with some interesting stuff, though, occasionally off season. And
absolutely,
I
would prefer to stay in the habit of it, but for some reason, I fall out.
I think because it went from like he built that whole brand.
He sure
Sports
did.
Illustrated.
Yeah, he
it
sure
was the
did.
Monday to Morning Quarterback, and
right.
Now he's doing it on Pro Football Talk. So
right,
it's just like one of 9 million links.
Yeah,
but every time that I remember it and see it, he's always got good stuff.
Well, I think I went back to him is because we told that story about him on Thursday. You know, about
him
falling asleep. So I felt like I kind of felt like I owed him, like, you know, a little bit of
a click.
Like, yeah, like he's really good at his job. He just doesn't fall asleep because he eats massive amounts of barbecue in a draft meeting.
Yeah.
So I felt a little sad that I should try and help Peter here. So
good story.
Yeah. So
Scouts Honor 420 Thursdays.
Yeah. We might have to actually tell the story of how we actually got that pick, which in itself I think I will. I've got a couple of, but man, that how we got that pick, the Roy Williams pick, is an incredible story. But we'll save that for 420 on Thursday. Okay. Peter interviewed Daniel Jeremiah, who I'm working on to get him on this show. I think Daniel Jeremiah is really, really good at his job. He's with the NFL Network. He does the color commentary, too, for the Los Angeles Chargers as well. So he's one of those guys that's like me. He's much better at the media side of it than me. But he's a guy that he studies these players really hard because he's a former scout. And he had some ideas. I kind of want to run a few by Jeff and see if we see it the same way here. And the first thing I want to focus on, because the Cowboys out there, all the fans, that every mock draft that I look at from fans, it always starts off with defensive players. But Daniel in this with Peter says, he says it's not a great defensive draft at all, is what he's saying. He's saying he had 24 players with first round grades overall. Only 10 of them on defense. I went back and looked at my board. I've got 12 on defense. But I do not.
Yeah, but you've always been a real friendly grader. Brian, sometimes real nice to guys.
You think I'm overly nice to like certain positions? Or I just misevaluate most of the time? What do you think?
Mostly both.
Mostly
yeah.
both?
Yeah, mostly
You know
both.
What? There's a side of me that really agrees with you right now. I do feel like the older I've gotten, the more friendly I have. I'm like, oh, man, that's a good-looking player. Boy, it's a good – I like that play, you know.
I bet he's got nice family members, good friends.
Man, let me read a little bit. Oh, gosh, look, he's the president of the university. He's president of the student body and all that. And you pick him the second round, he can't play a lick. That was Tony Dixon, by the way. Tony,
okay.
If you're driving around.
You're welcome.
Tony, he works for Frito-Lay now here in town. Tony's a great guy, but he didn't play well for us. So.
I think it's a really good point by Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Because what I'll notice is, for instance, I was looking at the most recent mock draft, and it's not the only one that looks like this. But the players who were gone when the Cowboys picked, it was nine guys, they all played offense. So find me a year where you get to take the first defensive player off the board.
Right.
And you're not doing backflips. Like what I'd have to go back and look, but I think normally you're doing backflips. And in this one you say, hey, who's the best defensive player in the draft? And the answer is like, one of these corners.
Yeah, it might be our Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, mine would be Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa.
It might be Koramoa, yeah.
Strong safety / linebacker. It's a real bizarre.
It is a bizarre draft. And the problem that is, and Jeff, we got a bunch of tape in on Michigan, and I started watching that Quiddy Pay again, the defensive end. I don't know, man.
That's how it is with all the defensive
players.
Players.
I mean, you want to tell me you want to draft one of these defensive ends, and Daniel Jeremiah in his commentary here with Peter King said the same thing. You know, he says he's got these guys like Rousseau from Miami, Jalen Phillips from Miami, Quiddy Pay was a guy. He's got all those guys on his board in the first round, and he even says, I don't seem to like any of them as locks.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, here's a position the Cowboys were talking about. Oh, wait. Defensive lineman. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Now here's the uncertainty. You know, if a guy that Jeff and I keep telling you that, man, I don't know about Rousseau. I don't know about Quiddy Pay. You know, I don't know about, you know, Ojulari from Georgia. I don't know. See, these are the positions I'm staying away from.
Well, and it's really unlucky for the Cowboys because they've needed to start investing in defense really since the Taco draft. They've been trying, and it's just not falling their way.
Yeah.
Well,
not falling their way at all.
I think that's why every time you see the mock drafts or you talk about who will the Cowboys pick at 10, the names you come back to are guys who either play corner or offensive tackle. Because if you're picking the 10th overall player in a draft, I think after you've made it, you want to be like, fist bump, we didn't miss.
Yeah.
And a lot of the defensive players in this draft, you're like, hey, this guy could turn into – but if you want to fist bump and say, we didn't miss, then you pick Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle out of Northwestern, or Patrick Surtain, the corner at Alabama, and you move on with your day because you don't feel like you'll miss. And there's a lot of other really important positions where you could shoot for the moon, but you might miss.
See, I totally am agreeing with everything you're saying there. I mean, because to me, I that 10th, I can't miss.
Yeah.
I can't miss. I can't let that pick set me back. You know, I've got to make sure. And to your point, Jeff, you're talking about the first defensive player could be one of these, could be one of these corners. It could be Farley. It could be Sertan. It could be one of those guys. And this is what Daniel Jeremiah says. And now here, ears up, Cowboy fans. He says if you want a corner, you better get one in the first couple of rounds. It falls off after that. Okay, he's talking about like guys like J.C. Horn should go by the end of the first round. Me personally, I like J.C. Horn better than I like Sertan. But I don't know if I agree with him about the fall off that bad. I think there are some. I think if they don't grab a corner in the first, I think there are some guys there in the second round, Jeffrey, that you could very well.
He said first and second, right? If I heard you right,
yeah.
He said first and second,
exactly. But I mean, where Dallas has to, okay, at 44. Yeah, I'm just trying to say though, I don't think the drop off from the first round is as huge as, you know, he's making first or second. I don't know how really, you know, he's thinking about, because I like the kid Melifonwu from Syracuse, Samuel from Florida State, Molden from Washington. I mean, those are my guys. I know, Jeff, you really like Newsom. See, I'm okay with those guys. I'm okay with Stokes and Campbell from Georgia, Lenore from Oregon. If you told me I could take the best player at 10 and I could grab one of those corners I just mentioned, I think
at
I'd
44.
Be okay. Yeah, I think I'd be okay with that.
How close are the corners at 44 to the one you take at 10? Is it kind of like a Trayvon Diggs evaluation where you just wait for a round because you can?
I would probably be tempted to, especially if you're somebody who thinks the Cowboys need to address offensive line.
Yeah.
Because my sneaking suspicion is the best player available is going to play offensive line. And
wide receivers.
Yeah.
To
what Daniel Jeremiah is saying, I'll say this. I've got 14 guys that I like in the first three rounds at corner. There's a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
But corner is also such a premier position. They go fast. So you could get to the 44th pick of the draft, and I'm just going to ballpark this. You could have eight corners gone. That could happen to you. Because it's corner. It's super-duper important. But I think the Cowboys could get a good one at 44 if you wanted to do something else with your very first pick.
Yeah.
And if you do something other than corner, I think it should be on offense.
Okay.
That's where the best players
okay,
are.
Okay, now to your point, Jeff, the surest position at the top, Daniel Jeremiah thinks it's offensive line. He says it's not deep, but he says either Rashawn Slater of Northwestern or Penny Sewell of Oregon, both were 2020 dropouts.
Studs.
Could be opening day left tackles in September.
Studs.
They both should go in the top six or eight. Slater played well against Ohio State's ace edge rusher, Chase Young. We saw that tape in 2019. And then they're talking about Elijah Vera Tucker, USC. He's a guard that can play tackle or guard comfortably. And then Christian Darrishaw from Virginia Tech. Jalen Mayfield is another kid I watched last night I think he's a tackle that's going to have to play guard. So there seems like, though, again, if you're the Cowboys and you're looking at, like, take the best player. Just go take the best player at 10.
So many people will be mad when the best player is a tight end.
Very well. He's the unicorn. No, in general, that's what I'm saying. Daniel calls him the unicorn. Again, we use that term quite a bit. Yeah. But he's the first tight end in the history of the 43 years of Mel Kiper's draft grading to crack the top five prospects. First time a tight end has ever cracked that. So
has a chance to be special.
He has a chance to be special. Pitts, offensive tackle. I think there's some depth there. I'm setting you up for maybe taking a second round cornerback. I'm sorry, folks, but you know, I think that thing will drag a little deeper for you, and I think you'll be okay there. So I liked what Daniel was saying about some of these positions, and I think it's on par with what Jeff and I have been talking about. Here, and we'll start talking about it even more as we get a little bit closer.
Salute to you, sir. There he is. At Brian brought us on Twitter, by the way. A must follow if you're not already, Cowboys fans. NBA All-Star grades and the controversy at MVP. What grade does Luka get for his 8-8-3 as well? That's next in the Nation.